Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, August 25th. I'm Ray Graff. The variety of a region's food offerings, it's becoming one of the primary reasons some people consider when deciding where to visit. Here to discuss food tourism are the folks from the Taste of Troy Food Tours, taking place right in our region, in Troy, in fact. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Food tourism, some tasty treats, and your calls coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Some people take the local culinary selection into consideration when deciding where to visit or vacation. In the studio today to discuss food tourism are Amy Corin-Roth and Marla Ortega. In May of 2016, Amy launched the Taste of Troy Food Tours. The tours are offered Saturdays through October, making stops at five eateries, a historical landmark, and the city's farmers market. Amy is a registered dietitian and nutritionist who has traveled around the globe partaking in food tours. Marla is the chef owner of the Ilium Cafe, one of the five food stops on the tour. Amy and Marla, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, welcome. You want to get a little closer to the microphone. If you guys have a question out there, this is the time to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You may also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Full disclosure, our producer, Jim Lavoulis, usually handles the email. He's not here. So I'll try to do it myself, which always ends up being kind of a 40% efficiency rate. So I'll do the best I can. But you'll definitely get through if you call 800-348-2551. Well, first of all, look at all this beautiful food. I want to thank you for bringing that today.
You're welcome.
We'll talk about what it is in a moment. But first, Amy, let's talk about the Taste of Troy Food Tour. And this is the second year, right?
Yes, this is my second year.
What possessed you to start it?
Well, I call myself a founder and forever foodie. I love food. I love to travel. I love to promote food. I'm getting ready to retire from the health department, and I wanted to figure out my next step. And when my son was in college in Asheville, I went on a food tour, and I said, you know, this is everything I like. I was a history major, an undergraduate, food, travel, perfect. I could do this. And so I took a class. And I started making my plan to, and actually what I envisioned for the class is basically what I created in Troy. So
this is exciting. And so where else have you gone besides Chapel Hill? Asheville, you said?
So I've been on 16 food tours, actually probably,
wow.
Not counting mine,
right.
Which I'm on every week. But I've done in Lisbon, I've done it in Vietnam, I've done it in Chicago, a few in Chicago, St. Louis, I've done it in Minneapolis, St. Paul, New York City.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What have you learned on all those tours that you have brought to the Taste of Troy Food Tour?
Well, I learned that maybe this is my nutritionist hat, but sometimes the tastes are a little too much, so that if you're going to have multiple tastes throughout a progressive meal, you really don't want to have something so big that you really can't enjoy or enjoy all of the tastes.
Right.
So if you look at the portions of what I serve, they might seem small, but by the end of the tour, I've only think had one guest who was still hungry and went to the farmer's market to buy something else to eat. So that's pretty good.
Our guests today, Amy Corin-Roth and Marla Ortega. The Taste of Troy food tours are Saturdays, right?
Yes.
Through October. And Marla is the chef owner of the Ilium Cafe, one of the five food stops on the tour. And Marla, the Reuben things are amazing. Tell me about them.
Yeah, well, we are actually known for our corned beef sandwiches. We make our own brisket, we brine it, and then we braise it.
Yeah.
Pretty much it takes an entire day to braise it properly. And then we use half of it and we dice it up for our corned beef hash. And then we use the other half for our corned beef sandwiches.
You make your own corned beef hash?
From scratch.
Oh.
I know. So many people come in expecting the stuff out of a can. You'd be surprised.
Real corned beef hash.
Real corned beef hash from scratch.
Oh, heavens. Now I know where I got to go. I got to go on this food tour. This is great. Tell us about the other restaurants involved.
So we start right outside of Psychedelicatessen, and we start with a mini everything bagel, and we have which we have some here if you want to try it. She also brines her own salmon, and we do cream cheese. Then we have a tea stop. We go to Whistling Kettle. We talk about tea. We try two different types of tea. Then we have Food for the Soul. We go to St. Paul's Episcopal Church, which has an entire Tiffany interior, and we talk about that. And then we go on to the Ilium, and we have the great broad bean salad together with the riff of the Reuben. Mm. And we then go to Brown's, which is kind of the anchor. It's been there the longest of my stops. And we have two different beer tastes, one of their classics and one of their sort of more experimental. And we do a buffalo cauliflower bites. Mm. And then we end at Nibbles Inc. for her potato flour donuts at the very end. And so what you may not get from all of that is that I connect all of them, no matter how convolutedly, but to I connect it actually to my phone is going off.
That's rule number one. You've broken it already. Well done.
But I connect it all back to the tastes of that were the history of Troy in the 1800s, when Troy was the fourth wealthiest city in the nation per capita.
Was it really?
Yes.
And what sort of, how much research do you have to do before you launch a tour for the year?
I'd spent a lot of time in the Historical Society, actually. I was trying to find restaurants and what they served back then. And what I learned is they did have taverns. Troy was incorporated in a tavern, but they didn't go out to eat in restaurants. But the very wealthy actually ate. They had elaborate dinner parties. They would serve 9-10 course meals. And they have lists in the Historical Society of what they served. So I could find out what they served. I found out the vendors who sold to them, what they sold in their stores. And I built a story around that. So if someone else were to do a food tour, you might get a totally different experience.
So what I'm guessing is the research and the preparation is as much fun for you as the tour.
Absolutely.
We're joined today by Amy Corin Roth at Marla Ortega. Amy launched the Taste of Troy food tours last year. This is the second year, as I understand it. Marla Ortega is the chef owner of the Ilium Cafe, and that's one of the five food stops on the tour. Marla, the corned beef is fabulous. Did you bring something else today?
I did. I did a giant buttery bean salad, which is one of our most popular salads. It's got giant white beans. When we serve it in the restaurant and not for the taste, we actually use poached eggs on the salad, but that wouldn't work for the tasting because we have to kind of prepare it ahead of time. But it's got hard-boiled eggs, giant white beans, a truffle cheese.
Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Even in the preparation for to go, in the tray that you brought, it's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, they look actually much nicer and more composed when they're put on a plate. We do the salad on one side, and the riff on the kind of like a Reuben. It's kind of like an open faced Reuben, and we put honey mustard. We do an orange coleslaw on top of it, and Swiss cheese.
That's a beautiful salad. Tell us about your background in the restaurant biz and the Ilium Cafe.
Yeah, I've worked in the business for over 10 years. I've worked at a country club in Gilderland called Pine Haven. I worked at a restaurant downtown Albany that's no longer there. I worked in South Florida for quite a few years. That's actually where I got my culinary degree, was in South Florida.
Uh-huh.
Moved back up here when I got my son, when I had my first son, so I could be near my family and my people that, you know, were close-knit to my relationship. And then I opened the Ilium in the end of 2009, and we've been there ever since. And we're keeping our doors open, working hard every day to make sure that the customers are happy and we can keep them coming back. I'm a certified executive chef from the American Culinary Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually on Guy's Grocery Games on the Food Network.
My heavens, my kids watched that show.
Yeah, and I won.
Did you really?
I did.
So that's, 10 grand, right?
18.
18?
Yeah.
Did you pull up in a limo today?
No.
No? I mean, you must not, as a mother and as someone who runs and is a chef at her own cafe, you sleep 1-2 hours a day?
Yeah, I have a hard time when I do lay down. My brain's constantly working, you know, thinking about what I got to do for the next day. I have 3 kids of my own and my husband has 2, so we have 5 together.
That's a lot of work right there.
It's a lot of fun. The house is never quiet.
It's Food Friday today. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. In the 7 or 8 years now that you've run Ilium, what have you learned that you have put into practice?
I've learned so many things that they don't tell you when you open a business. Things that you have to find out on your own, I've learned. You know, you have to keep really good documentation, and you have to keep your staff excited. You have to keep your customers excited. You have to keep everyone excited so that they keep coming through your doors, especially with Troy on its upswing. There's so much more competition now than there used to be. So you really have to keep ahead of, above your competitors and keep your head above water.
Is it still fun? I mean, the business aspect is one thing. You're an executive chef. You obviously love your time in the kitchen. But is it handling all the business stuff fun for you?
I wish I had a personal assistant, but that's just not really in the budget. So, but
well, that's not a very forthright answer.
I love to cook, so I love to be on the line. I'm an actual active chef on the line most days, and I do the paperwork stuff after, and I procrastinate as much as possible.
Absolutely. Are you a tough taskmaster of those in your kitchen?
I would think that most of my crew has been with me for several years.
So they like you.
They like me. I'm stern when I have to be stern. I'm soft when I have to be soft. I kind of have a really, I think my personality is a good dichotomy of both. So that's why I can keep as many employees as I have.
That's terrific. Our guests today, Amy Corin Roth, who launched the Taste of Troy food tours, and Marla Ortega, chef owner of the Ilium Cafe. We talk food today on the program, and we'll talk more about the food and the food that Amy brought. I think there's some beer there as well. Let's take a quick break, Zach the engineer. 800-348-2551, the number, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods. Local produce from the Hudson Valley, delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small, sustainable farms. Field-goods.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. The Lake George Association, working to protect Lake George water for more than a century, lakegeorgeassociation.org/join. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farmers and food artisans, outdoor open-air market on River Street through October, every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., troymarket.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday, don't you know? Ray Graff here, and we are joined by the folks from the Taste of Troy Food Tours, Amy Corin Roth and Marla Ortega. Marla is the chef owner of the Ilium Cafe, one of the five food stops on the tour. Amy Corin Roth is sort of the brains behind the whole tour. I guess is it a one-man show, one-person show?
It is. It's a one-person show. You were asking Marla, you know, does she want to have help? A number of my colleagues who are in food tourism talk about growing the business and having a staff of 20 and not doing the tours anymore. That is not my goal.
Really?
I like the hands-on. I like the exposure, making sure that it's personal, that my customers, if they have a special dietary need, are met. And I really like doing it myself. And if I have to get big, I mean, I've done with being a manager and a supervisor. This is my fun thing, you know?
Oh, that's great.
And I don't, and also, I mean, one of the differences of culinary tourism is the size of the city. So there's places like Chicago, New York, Boston, Seattle, you would expect them to have multiple, which they do. And so they have to deal with competition, but they also can have a tour every single day of the week, multiple times a day. So they bring in a whole different income level. But we don't have that kind of tourism in Troy, certainly. When I built it, I really built it for the local, that people could be travelers in their own city or their own community. Albany has actually, the visitor center reached out to me and asked me to create the tour there, and they really want to target external visitors, and so it's a slightly different model.
Yeah.
But you know, they're hoping to bring more people in. There's a lot to do in this area, and smaller historic cities, like, you were shocked that Troy was the wealthiest nation city, the fourth in 1840. I mean, it's just one of those things that people forget about, but there's a lot there.
So food tourism is, and forgive me, I don't get out much.
Okay.
Anyone who knows me knows this is true. Food tourism is really booming, huh?
It is. It's the second people tend, you know, they do all these studies for why people travel or what they're looking for, and they're looking for a food experience. Food is like the number one draw of people when they travel, and then they get to know an area, and it's a very personalized experience. I recently mentioned that I was in Lisbon, so I met friends there. We spent a day traveling, then we did 6 days cycling. I came back and did a food tour, and we went through the same areas I had been the week before, and I saw it with a whole different light because it came to life. They told me stories, what things meant, which I just walked by and didn't necessarily have an understanding of. So
interesting. And so now you may or may not branch into Albany as well.
The plans are for, it's underway. I'm working. I have my vendors almost pinned down for my partners for the next spot. I have the route planned. The script is in draft form. So
very interesting. You have a script?
Oh, I write a script, yes. Because I tell a story.
Everybody's on a bus? How does this work?
No, we walk.
You
walk? It's a walking food tour. We walk a mile and a half. We have the stop, so we stand a little. We go in. We eat. Sit down. And I feel my job is to promote my vendor, my partners. So I talk. I get their backstory, and I weave that in. I talk about the food. I talk about Marla being on Guy's Grocery and winning it. I weave that all into my story.
And, well, how does Marla's story weave into your give us a little taste of the tour.
So I think that Troy is a story of community. And Marla's been a great partner for me, but I think that her commitment to Troy, her willingness to engage, there were twice now she's won the market basket, I don't know what they call it, the Mystery Market Basket competition that they did with the Enchanted City event. This year it's going to be in September, I believe, the 16th.
Yep.
And so they had five different chefs who were given the same basket, kind of what she had at Guy's Grocery Network. And they all had to come up with in 45 minutes to come up with something, create it, and then it gets judged. And she's won it twice. So I mentioned that. I talk about my award-winning chefs. I talk about a woman-owned business. I talk about why we have a riff of a Reuben, because it's a nod to the Irish population that was in Troy, that was in started down in South Troy, and as they improved in wealth, they moved up to 3rd Street. I talk about that, you know, the 200th birthday of Troy. The nod last year was the 175th to Baris Shalom, which is, and so we have a nod to the Jewish community with our bagels. And I know that they serve salmon in their menus, and they also served raw oysters that they came packed in wet sand, and so they could have that fresh and compete. I talk about how the Hudson River led to the rise and decline of Troy. So all that kind of is woven into my story.
You really have a passion for food.
I do.
That's terrific. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We got an email here from Linda who says, I have something nice to say about all three of you. Oh, that's always trouble. My family and I went on the food tour recently, and it was so much fun. And I never thought I'd go on food tours when traveling, but now I will. The Ilium was our favorite stop. That one's for you. And Ray, you're my favorite person on WAMC. So you see, the
Thank
email
you, Linda.
That's one I'm glad I took. But our number here is 800-348-2551. What's on the menu at Ilium right now?
We just changed our menu and updated some of our menu items. One of my favorite items that we just put on is a Jamaican jerk waffle with buffalo style pulled pork. And it's topped with cream caramelized onions. It's a really big seller. It's one of our biggest new sellers.
I believe it.
We also have a pork belly gyro with a spicy tzatziki sauce. It's got french fries in it, and we toss the pork belly and sweet chili, lettuce, tomatoes, onions. We have some standard staples that people really love, our chicken mozzarella melt, our smokehouse panini. We have some favorites for breakfast as well. We have a banana Foster waffle and a red velvet pancakes.
So you're open for breakfast. Are you open through the whole day?
We're open. Well, right now we moved our kitchen. We just did a whole renovation of our restaurants. We moved our kitchen and we built a bar in the front. And so right now we're serving breakfast and lunch 6 days a week. We're closed on Sundays currently, just because I needed a day for my family.
I would think.
And so, but we are open until 8 o'clock Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays for dinner. And right now I'm doing a chalkboard dinner menu. So whatever I can get fresh and local, we just make up the menu every single week. It keeps my chefs excited about food, keeps me excited about food, because we're not stuck in the same routine every single week.
Is it important for you to buy local?
It is important for me to buy local. I buy local as much as I possibly can. You know, I send someone out every week from the farmer's market, and they buy a bunch of stuff. It's hard for me to get, like, too much because the volumes that I need are hard for farmers to supply, like eggs. We can go through easily, like, 60 dozen eggs on a Saturday.
Wow.
So it's a lot.
I would imagine, since there are only five on this tour, Amy Corin Roth, that there is some competition to get on the tour.
You know, not so far. I mean,
really?
It's funny because actually one of the vendors in Albany that I approached turned me down, and I'm thinking, I'm guaranteed business once because I pay for my customer's ticket price and covers the cost of what we're served. And then I hope that people will go back at least a second time. Some of my, like Marla has offered me a 10% discount, so that's just specific to my customers. They get that at the end. And also the time of day. I mean, because I start at 10 in the morning and we end at 1. And I do that because I want to highlight the farmer's market. And the farmer's market is from 9 to 2. So I want to make sure people have an hour to shop. One of my other hats and my other job is I'm New York State's fruit and vegetable coordinator. So I really like to promote the farmer's market. But I did a special event this year. We called it Breakfast at Noon with one of your former guests, Amy Halloran.
Oh, sure.
So we held it at the Arts Center. We met. We didn't eat throughout the tour. She talked to us. We met some of the farmers. She went back and made savory and sweet waffles. And
did she ever stop talking? That's the best question.
Not when she was when she got going.
She gets ramped up pretty fast.
And then we did the history part. And then we came back and had we also stopped at the 22nd Street Wine Store, and we got paired wines, and then we brought it back, and then we had sweet and savory waffles, and all the ingredients except the grains came from the farmer's market.
That is great. Our guests today, Marla Ortega of the Ilium Cafe and Amy Corin Roth, who launched the Taste of Troy food tour last year and doing it again this year. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number. George in Hackensack, New Jersey. George, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to share a recipe idea since one of your guests mentioned, you know, corned beef hash being made from scratch.
Yeah.
And you, of course, reacted to it. So I'll be brief.
All right.
Years ago, my brother-in-law began smoking meat and they found out the hard way that the brisket they bought had a little too much fat in it. So we all picked out the meat, got rid of the fat and made big bowls full of smoked brisket hash. If you want them knocking your door down to your restaurant to get inside, trust me, make smoked brisket hash. It is unbelievable. And that's all I have to say. Good afternoon.
Thank you, George.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea, George. And, you know, up until recently with the move of our kitchen, we were unable to do things like that because our kitchen was in the restaurant, so we had an open-air kitchen.
You could not smoke stuff.
We couldn't smoke stuff or we smoked the whole restaurant out.
Right.
But now, actually, that's a great idea. And we have done smoked salmon and smoked other fishes. And, you know, I just never really thought about it before because I've been used to doing it the way I've done it for so long.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And always great to hear from Hackensack. That's very, very rare on this program. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 here on this Food Friday. Amy, you brought other stuff too.
Right. So I wanted to make sure that I did equal time for all my other vendors.
Absolutely.
So I brought, I stopped by this morning at Psychedelicatessen and I got mini bagels and salmon and cream cheese.
Where is that?
It's on 275 River Street.
Mm-hmm.
They've been open 2 years. This is their third year. They opened in 2015 was her first year, right?
Is it a little hippie shop?
It's a big one. It's in the Dowshi building. She's got two window fronts. And Laura, the owner, has a very diverse background. She originally came from Idaho and started making bagels out there just at the time that the market crashed in 2008.
Ugh.
And she started selling in a bus and opened her commercial kitchen in her basement. And then she wanted to grow the business and previously had taught nuclear propulsion. So she took a job at Knowles in 2011.
I'm sorry. The bagel lady?
Yes. She's had a very diverse career.
Apparently.
And she came and fell in love with the area, but found she couldn't find a bagel she liked. So she shipped all her bagel equipment here. The Venaccio company had just started doing renovations of the Dowshi building. She moved in, and she's been there ever since.
I mean, how do you learn to make bagels in Idaho?
She's had a three-generation family recipe that she, and they hand-rolled. So these are hand-rolled. They're not stamped out of a machine. And they have a much chewier, dense texture. And she does a lot of, again, a story of community. When I was in Portugal, she posted that their oven had died and needed to do a GoFundMe because she'd used up her reserves. Within 6 hours, she got the money she needed. But also two other members of the community, Lucy Joe's Coffee, contributed a dollar for every cup they sold to her. And then Placid Baker, which you would think sandwiches, a competitor, sent over rolls so they could make sandwiches so that they could keep in business. Because if the community thrives when everybody thrives, so.
Really great, really great. And what else did you bring today?
So then I have brought some beer from Brown's.
Oh, fantastic. We know that very well.
They've just started their canning last year, and this is one of their autumn ales. It's a brown ale, and it's a dark amber, and it's kind of a British style ale. It's not high on the bitterness scale.
Right, not a lot of hops, more malt.
Yes,
and that's good. Are you a beer drinker?
I'm learning to be. I was not beforehand, but as I go on the tour, Chris always leaves me a taste as well. So I don't normally eat on the tour, but I do try the beers so that I can learn a little bit about them. So I guess I'm developing my palate.
A good beer is a wonderful thing.
I know that people feel that way. But brewing is essential, whether I drink it or not, to the history of this area. So I have to have a brewery on because it's one of the anchors. It when they opened, there was one of 100 craft breweries in the country. Now there's 4,000. So.
Wow. It's amazing the boom in craft brewing. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Marla Ortega, chef owner of the Ilium Cafe, and Amy Corin Roth, who launched the Taste of Troy food tours in 2016 and now doing it again through October. Let's go to Drea in Troy.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm part of a group in Troy that's dedicated to sustainability. We're called Troy Zero Waste. And we recognize restaurants that have a commitment to good environmental practices. So it was great to hear that two of the restaurants that we have honored so far are on your list. Psychedelicatessen and Brown's is on our list.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know these restaurants, and I am quite happy to eat in both of those places. And if there are any other restaurants in and around Troy who are dedicated to environmental practices, we'd love to recognize you as well. And let us know on our Facebook page at Troy Zero Waste on Facebook. And thank you for doing this show.
I would say, Dre, that one of the nice things when we go to most of them, we get served not on paper plates. We get served like an Ilium. It's a nicely plated, real plate, so we're not making a lot of waste that way.
Well, terrific. Hey,
that's great.
Thank you for the call, and we appreciate it, and good luck. Our number is 800-348-2551. What are those things that look chocolate?
So we have from Nibble Inc., we have two different of her donuts. This is a dark chocolate caramel sea salt donut.
Oh.
And then we have a blackberry donut. So we have two different of her donuts. All her fruit donuts are vegan. So we also, if someone is gluten-free, we try to accommodate taste. She actually does a baked donut for those who need to be gluten-free. The sea salt is actually a chocolate donut in itself. It's a very deep chocolate.
I know from donuts, so this we'll have to wait for the break, but okay. I must. What's the name of the donut?
Nibble Inc.
Oh, boy.
And they are located just around the corner from the Center of Gravity. So we on Broadway, they're their second location. And they actually provide the donuts also for Whole Foods in Colony. So.
Are you a donut fan?
As a nutritionist, I don't eat many of them.
Oh,
but,
come now.
But I like them.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you could probably have a little nibble.
I could actually have a little.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday, and our guests today, Marla Ortega of Ilium Cafe and Amy Corin Roth of the Taste of Troy food tour. And has it grown since the first year?
Yes. Last year I did 22 tours and I had about 140 guests. This year I also partner with Hudson Valley Community College. So two of my tours in the spring-summer and two of them in the fall were listed in their catalog, and they sold out within an hour, each of them.
Wow.
So I'm up to having had 100, and I'm close to 190 guests already.
Have you thought about expanding the number of restaurants involved from five?
It would be a much longer tour, and I think 3 hours is about people's capacity.
Well, three-hour tour.
Right.
Like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Perfect. Let's take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and then we'll get back to the phones. It's Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Now crafting black garlic products in small batches. BlackGarlicSeaSalt.com for more information. Convino Wine Bar, Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 70 wines by the glass and a full menu from afternoon snack to nightcap. Live music Sundays and Mondays. Outdoor seating, Thorne's Marketplace, convinonoho.com. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. Just fixing headphones, taking a quick break for the Count Basie Orchestra here on Vox Pop Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And we're joined today by Marla Ortega of Ilium Cafe and Amy Corin-Roth of Taste of Troy Food Tours. That's a different donut.
Right.
There's some density. It's delicious.
So one of her, she actually does a donut with potato in it. She feels that it keeps it moister. It does make
potato
it.
Potato flour?
I think it's actually potato that she grinds up in it. That I don't have the I don't have the recipe, but
okay.
I know there's potato in her. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, fair enough. Very nice though. Very yeah. Tasty and chocolatey and very good.
I was actually there this morning and they were making them fresh, and so I got each of these were just out of the fryer and just dipped when I picked them up on my way to planning to come here today. So
it's I find it so. Humorous, not humorous, but it's funny to some extent that you're a nutritionist and eating healthy, very big. You were food and vegetable. You still are a food and vegetable coordinator for the state. And yet you're purveying the donuts.
So I believe that there's room for all foods can sometimes fit. And I ask people if they're like following a diet or they're on a food tour, if it's not because they're an allergy or it's going to make them sick, put it away. 3 hours on a food tour is not going to ruin their diet. They don't get a whole donut. They get two different tastes of two different ones. So it's about a quarter. So they get half a donut by the time they're done. But they've had, and it's throughout 3 hours, and that's all they're going to eat probably for their brunch lunch. So,
Marla, is the crowd, the Taste of Troy food crowd, are they obstreperous and difficult to deal with?
No.
No?
No, not at all. I actually don't get to see much of them anymore because now the kitchen has been moved. So I used to see everybody walk in, everybody wave when they were leaving. Everybody seemed like they're having a really great time.
So now you don't have to mix with the clients.
Well, I miss seeing her. I liked saying hello to her. And I like saying, you know, this is actually one day this year you had time to come out and say hello.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really nice for them to put a face to the restaurant, you know.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Danny and Troy is on. Danny. Hello. Danny, you got to turn your radio down, man. Oh. All right, let's put Danny on hold. Maybe he'll figure it out. He's obviously
not called them before.
Well, no, I mean he's listening on the radio, and there's a delay. And so he'll get the message in a minute, and we're going to go back to Danny right about now. Danny, are you there?
I am here. I'm sorry. I was too close to my radio.
That's all right. You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, so I just wanted to mention we're right in front of downtown.
You're right in front of downtown, you said?
We lost you, Danny.
I think it's a cell phone. Well, we'll have Danny call back. That's fine. No big deal. Our number here is 800-348-2551. I wish I had time to have some of the salmon and bagel, but I can't do it.
You have to do it afterwards.
I can't chew and talk at the same time.
Do you want me to cut a smaller piece?
Yeah, maybe. So the tour takes about 3 hours.
Right.
People park in a specific spot.
So on Saturday, there is free parking at the Uncle Sam's Atrium Garage.
Mm-hmm.
People sign up. They get a reminder 4 days before the tour. And on the morning of the tour, I text them. I tell them the weather report, be ready for deliciousness. I remind them where to park because I've learned that people don't read the emails that I send them. And I have them meet me 15 minutes before the tour really starts. So if they're running late, we can be on time because it's pretty well timed so that the hot food is hot and the cold food's
right, cold.
And I, like with Marla, she's my fourth stop. And I text her. I say, we're on our way. We should be there about this time. So I tell people if I'm on my phone, it's because I'm texting ahead. I'm not speaking to my kids or anything, you know.
Is it tough to coordinate time-wise?
The first few times I was really nervous, but I now pretty much have it down. And I have a good rapport with my vendors, so I just communicate with what's going on and they respond.
Marla, is she tough to deal with?
Absolutely not.
No?
She's constantly emailing me, updating if the count changes or dietary restriction changes. She texts me, and now she texts my husband. So we're all in like a group little text.
Little family.
Little text every Saturday I get. So.
Has it been good for you?
It has been good. I actually have a neighbor who's down the street who I don't see very often who left me a note in my mailbox to let me know how much she enjoyed the taste of Troy and how much she enjoyed our taste in particular. So, and people have come back and mentioned how great it is.
Well, this email that came in from Donna, I hope Donna's not related to you, Marla. Subject heading, Ilium Cafe, my new favorite place to go. My sister and I went for an early dinner before a show. We had Bloody Marys and sirloin salads with goat cheese. Well, that's pretty good.
Awesome.
You serve Bloody Marys?
We do. We have a full liquor license that we just actually got. So,
things are looking even better. Let's go to Natalie in Pittsfield. You're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Boy, it makes me want to move over to Troy when I hear all these delicious things that you're having there. My goodness. I'm a foodie of sorts. I'm actually getting into nutrition as I'm in college, and I'm listening to all the different types of flour that people use these days. And you mentioned earlier about potato flour. So I'm wondering, is that one of the more healthy choices when you're using a flour, or what is the most healthy flour to use when you are making your dishes?
So healthy is a relative term. I mean, I think that I tend to encourage whole grains because whole grains are better. When we mentioned Amy Halloran being a guest, she actually calls herself a flour ambassador, and she likes to get stone ground local grains around the country. There are not that many in the area. There's some in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. But they actually provide more fiber and more nutrients. So again, it's a relative term, but there's some things that, you know, it won't work as well to do that kind of that flour. It might be too grainy for what you're doing. There is a whole wheat pastry flour. There's white flour. So it really depends on what you're trying to get as a product and then what your health issue that or what you're trying to achieve. But on the whole, I would say whole grains are the best way to go.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much. And I plan on using that potato flour, figuring out what I can do with this. Thank you so much.
All right,
thank you for the call and have a great weekend. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. What do you do as a fruit and vegetable coordinator for the state?
Well, that's just one of my hats. I actually oversee contracts where we try to increase access to healthy lifestyle choices. So increasing, we give money to communities that are high needs to so that they can maybe bring in more produce and healthy foods to corner stores, increase farmers markets, complete streets, walkable communities. So that's been my work for most of my time in the health department, is trying to get increase awareness, and now more and more doing policy systems, environmental change.
It seems like you had a full career.
I did. Well,
don't you want to rest once in a while?
Yeah, that's overrated.
You go headlong into this food tour. Well done. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go back to the troublesome Danny and Troy and see if his connection's any better. Danny, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I am troublesome. People in Troy that know me would know that. But we've been in downtown Troy for 4 years now. We're right next to Marla. And one thing that I wanted to mention specifically, if you go to the Ilium, Marla makes the most amazing soups. We get the soups there all the time, and they're always the most creative, most imaginative soups, and they're so delicious. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that anybody out there listening to Vox Pop today that hasn't been to Troy in a while, not just for the food, but Troy itself is amazing, and it's on fire. So I wanted to give a shout-out to Marla. Thank you guys for supporting Troy and talking about Troy. And that's,
yeah, it's not literally on fire, though. Let's be clear, right? We're okay?
All right. We're okay. But it's the coolest city in the area right now, and really proud to be here and be part of it.
Danny, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Danny. I really appreciate it. Keep coming in and eating soups, because we'll keep making them.
All right. So what kind of soup do you make? You didn't tell me you made soup.
Well, I make soup, too. I mean, I make a lot of things.
Well, tell me about the soup.
All right. So our soups are made in-house, made from scratch. I like to refer to our soups, which I don't want this to be sound in a bad connotation, but our soup is like, okay, I cook at home like this when I cook for my kids. I go in my fridge, I have this and this and this left over, and I kind of mix them all together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some soups are made with intention, and we intend to make them the way they are, like if we're making French onion soup or we're making a tomato soup. But other soups are just things that we have that we decide that we'll try it and make it work together. I actually one time made a Caesar salad soup.
Yeesh, cooked lettuce?
Yeah, I know. Blah. It sounds, I know. We just wilted it a little bit, and it was good. We started with croutons. People really liked
You're
it.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear.
Have you ever failed when you've done such a thing?
Failed a few times, yeah. Yeah?
Well, it's okay to fail?
It's okay to fail in the kitchen, because if you don't fail, you're not trying hard enough.
So the soup, I mean, what we can do is we bring Amy Halloran in. We bring you back. You bring soup. She'll bring the bread.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't even have to be here, because the two of you could just chat.
Just go at it for hours.
Yeah, you just get her started, I'll tell you.
So, Ray, you know, Danny was mentioning about Troy, and when I started the tours, people would say to me, why Troy? Why not Albany? And I said, have you been to Troy lately? I mean, Troy is perfectly laid out for a nice mile and a half walk that we do. The farthest we walk is Browns across the other side. If we start at the Central Historic District, and then we end up at the North River Street District, and now we come back to the Central Historic District for, you know, so we do a nice little walk, and there's every three or four blocks, there's something of importance to discuss about Troy, its history. So by the time they're done, they've gotten a full flavor of not just what there is to eat, but also of what there is to see and do. And many people who have taken it say, you know, this is not the Troy I knew when I went to RPI or my boyfriend did, or when I, you know, now I can see it as a destination. So someone else said to me, they should hire you in the city of Troy to be their tour guide. I said, well, in a way I am. I just hire myself. So
you've been on dozens of tours. They can't all be foot tours.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Every food tour you have been on is a walking tour.
Yes.
Well, what about one where you have some sort of a motor coach go further afield?
I actually, when I started, was trying to think about like highlighting the farmers more and going out to the site. But then you have insurance issues of driving and having people in the car and going for, and it just, walking is so much easier.
However, you have a vehicle, you don't have to stop in October. You can go through the winter.
True, but it's not as pleasant to like by the end of it. I'm when the farmer's market moves outside, I'm there, and when it moves inside to its winter home, I'm back. You know, I'm done. I do private tours if someone was interested in doing something. I could arrange it. I have an idea for another tour in Troy. I'd like to highlight more of the ethnic markets, but I was going to develop that when I started developing the Albany one. So right now, I'm just developing my second one, but I definitely would be open to doing something a little different. If someone had an event or an office thing, I could definitely pull something together.
So your retirement looks very restful.
Yes, absolutely.
Well done. This is the second year for the Troy tour. Will there be a point where you say, okay, we've done this, we'll move on to another city?
No, I think that we'll keep Troy because I love it. And I do it every week, but the people who are on my tour don't do it every week. And there's many more people to reach in the Capital District and beyond. The person who called from Pittsfield, I've had one person come over from Massachusetts, from Williams College. We're right over the border. I'd love to have a lot more of those folks in the Berkshire come
over. Do you have a
over.
Website?
I do have a website.
What is the URL?
It's www.tasteoftroyfoodtours.com.
Tasteoftroyfoodtours.com. So if people want to find out more, they can go there.
Absolutely.
Works out perfectly well. How about you, Marla? What about the Ilium Cafe? Do you have a web presence at this point?
We do. It's iliumcafe.com.
Very nice. And menu and everything on there?
Menu's on there. We're in the process of actually updating our website. So in the next couple of days, it should go live with our brand new website.
And you have a handful of items, I would assume, that are staples. And then you change the menu fairly. How often do you change the menu?
Well, the lunch menu, anytime I change the lunch menu, people are up in arms. So I try not to change too
really?
Many items. Yeah, people get like, they're like, oh my God, you took the peanut butter and jelly off the sandwich. That's it.
Well, I can make a peanut butter and jelly.
Not like our peanut butter
really?
And jelly.
Really? Why?
Because we put fluff, Nutella, peanut butter, fresh made raspberry jam.
Hang on, the nutritionist just dropped dead.
I know. It's probably like 1,000 calories, but people love it.
Sounds really, really good.
So, yeah.
So you put peanut butter, Nutella, fluff, what else?
And homemade raspberry jelly.
And it's got to be good bread, though.
And we put it on a focaccia bread.
Wow. So you're not probably all that keen on that, hey, Amy?
You know, things occasionally. I'm kind of sticking generally with the try to keep about 600 calories per meal. You know, that's my health department.
Do you ever splurge?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? And what's your guilty pleasure?
I have a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
I definitely have a
sweet
tooth.
Have a donut.
Come on. I'm not talking.
All right.
And I've eaten them donuts. I've brought them back when we've had some leftovers, which is not often. Guilty pleasures. I really have many.
Well, you're a nutritionist, so there always must be that good guy on the shoulder saying, don't eat it, don't eat it.
Right, or make sure you work out harder.
Well, you walk every Saturday. You walk for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So that's good. A mile and a half walk?
Yeah, it's about 7,000 steps.
Why don't you swim in the Hudson back down to Del Mar?
Yeah, I could do that.
At the end.
Yeah.
And then you can
good
eat whatever
idea.
You want. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday. How about a beer? Anybody want a little beer?
Sure.
Yeah? Marla, have a little sip?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll have some Browns Brewing. It's been a while since I've had one here. I like the new cans they have.
Yeah. They brought in all the equipment from Germany. They started with their, I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah.
They started with their Burst last year. And now many of their classics are also being canned as well.
It's funny. Now, I know Joe Donahue must not be in the building because if I say beer, Joe is usually in the door within about 20 seconds. So he must be gone. All right, let's try. Toast to the taste of Troy.
Thank you. And Ilium.
And to Brian Shields, who's looking in, glaring at me. That's nice.
Yeah.
How long has Brown's been in business? A long time.
It's 93.
Really?
Yep. And it's been in the same building location as the original building is there. Yep.
And everyone just gets a sip on the tour, right? They don't get all tanked up and start staggering around.
You know those flight-size glasses?
Yeah.
So we get two flight-size glasses that they get to taste. And then it's their fourth food stop, and they also have the cauliflower bites with it.
Oh, nice. That is really nice. Now, you, I would assume, have maybe an idea in your head for next year's. In Troy, not in Albany.
Yeah, I will keep probably the same. I mean, when you take the class, they say, you know, stick with your vendors, get it down, have a set product, and you just go for it being full. So the only reason I would change if, like last year, I had a different sweet vendor or things changed in her life, so I made a change for my sweet taste. But other than that, as long as my vendors are there and want to have us be partners, I'm happy to continue being their partner.
How about the historical side of it? Will you continue to do research or keep the story the same?
I always pick up new tidbits and add it in. This year when we did the breakfast at noon, I actually learned a little bit more about Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, and they allowed our guests to come in and go on stage and talk to us for 15 minutes. So that was a little different opportunity.
That's cool. How'd you work that?
I I go to a lot of events in Troy. With the Troy BID, I try to, when they're meeting other people, to make connections. Networking is really work hard at, to be a good partner, to be reliable. Like, you know, Marla, I tried to get them to bill me, and it was a struggle. And I finally said, you know what? At the end of every month, I say, this is how many guests. This is the price we agreed on. I'm bringing a check. You send me an invoice.
Okay, fair enough. Marla Ortega, what do you have in, it's what, 8-9 years now you've been in business, right?
Yeah.
What do you have in store for 2018 at the Ilium?
Well, like I said, we just moved the kitchen. We have another storefront currently that we are working on. We haven't pinned down exactly what we're doing with it. We took over the whole corner of the Cannon building, so we have another storefront. We're thinking about maybe a fresh market, a small fresh market with selling proteins, because we can always use them in the restaurant, and selling fresh-made salads every day. And we are also in the works of possibly taking on another entity. We've been approached.
Another entity?
Another entity.
We can't talk about that.
It's all hush-hush right now.
Fair enough. Well, that's pretty exciting. And Troy, you get the feeling Troy is on the up.
Troy is definitely on the upswing. And you know what? The best thing about Troy is that we are a community, and we all help each other out. If my business, if Laura over at Psychic Delicatessen runs out of something, I'm there. If someone down the street runs out of something, they let me borrow it. You know, we definitely are a community.
So it's a collegial atmosphere. I always thought it was a little more cutthroat, like the radio business, very cutthroat.
You know, you can't be like that in the restaurant business, because people always ask me this question. They're like, when a new place opens, how do you feel? Are you jealous? Are you nervous?
You have to be a little nervous.
You always get a little tinge of nerve. But what I've learned over 8 years is the more businesses that come in, the more people come down, the more people around, the more people who are bound to find out where you are and come to your restaurant.
All right. Once again, the Ilium Cafe. What is the website, Marla?
TheIliumCafe.com.
And the Taste of Troy Food Tours, Amy?
TasteOfTroyFoodTours.com.
We are done. This was fun. Thanks for bringing all the great food and sharing an hour with us. Support comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No Moo, dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. SilverBay.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Thanks again to Amy Corin-Roth of the Taste of Troy Food Tours and Marla Ortega of the Ilium Cafe for being with us today. Thank you for the calls. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took your calls. No, that's not Barb King. I don't know who that lady was who took the calls, but thank you very much. Okay, I'll get your name next time. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. We'll be back on Monday with Alan and Medical Monday. Right now, though, stand by for news.